20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is the day we have long awaited. It is draft day 2022, and we are going to talk Green Bay Packers draft stuff. It is the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jason Perrone, of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Game On Wisconsin, and the Quick Slants Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Brettel of Dairyland Express, Cheesehead TV, and the Packers Unrestricted YouTube show right there. Simple, simple and clean. Weather time. We got to start with the weather before we get to the draft. Everybody wants to get to it, so we'll do a quick weather recap. We're only going as far east as Mark Eckel on the Myrtle Beach side of South Carolina. How are we looking over there? Is it raining? Is it sunny? What's going on?
It's beautiful. Sunny. I've been on the beach every day this week. So it's beautiful weather here. 78 and sunny.
All right, 78 and sunny. 78's right in the wheelhouse there, too. That's nice. That is good stuff. And then we come over to the Dairyland State of Green Bay, Wisconsin. May not be as warm, Paul, but do we have sunshine?
Yeah, I suppose. So the weekend, we got our 2 days of spring. It was in, like, the 60s, and it was beautiful. Tuesday was, like, 38, and there were flurries in the air. But it looks like the next handful of days or so, we're going to hit the 50s, which is still not where we want to be, you know, with May approaching, but we're progressing, I think.
All right. Taking steps. Awesome. Well, 90s, low 90s to mid 90s, sunny here in Phoenix. So summer has arrived. 90s. It's not going to cool off. Yeah, no, it's not going to cool off again until I don't know when, but it's hot and it's sunny. And I can say that now and I don't have to feel bad about it because everybody's warming up eventually and we're getting there. Spring is in the air. And then, as always, our weekly chime in from Kamloops, Canada. Harry, he keeps it real simple, too. He wants us to get to the draft. So he said, again, over 50, lots of clouds. High of 59, low of 44. Weekend is looking nice and sunny as well. Thank you, Harry, as always. So without any further ado, the draft is a mere few hours from now. So we're going to do our full three-round mock draft. We're each going to take the role of the GM of one team and go through all of the first three rounds, picking each player. No, we're not going to do that at all. But we are going to talk about what we think and what's going on and what the latest and greatest is. And so, as always, the two hardest working men in the biz here with me on the show, writing away like crazy. Paul, it's good to have you back. We missed you last week, so we'll start with you. I know you've written a ton on the draft, prospects, all of that kind of stuff. What is your opening statement slash headline heading into this draft? What are your initial thoughts as far as what the Packers are going to do and what you want them to do?
Well, we'll start here. I think they're trading up from pick 22 to go and get a receiver. I just find it hard to believe that picks, which is the second most out of any team in this draft, that they're going to end having made 11 picks. Wide receiver is obviously a massive need for Green Bay. And we've seen, I know they haven't drafted a receiver in the first round, but we've seen or we've heard rumors that Gutekunst tried to do so in 2020. Supposedly wanted Justin Jefferson, but couldn't make it happen. And then also wanted Brandon Ayuk that same year as well. So the history, you know, assuming those reports are true, is there. Gutekunst's aggressiveness in the draft. He's been at the helm for four drafts now, heading into his fifth. He's traded up within the top 100 five times. Three of those have occurred within the first round. So you put together Gutekunst's aggressiveness. He's tried to move up for receivers in the past. It's obviously a massive need. And the Green Bay Packers have the draft capital to do so. So I think that that's the recipe. I mean, although I think I said that on Twitter, all the ingredients are there for them to do so. So that's, you know, like, as we like to do here, read the tea leaves. That's what my guess is for that 22nd pick.
And you think they'll have all of that draft capital available after they've already, before the draft even starts, surprised us by trading for DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Debo Samuel, and they're still going to have all those assets, Darren Waller, and they're still going to have all those assets. That is some very optimistic outlook for sure, Paul.
One other thing I want to add, and Mark actually brought this up while we were before we started recording, like this is a deep roster. There's not, you know, this bevy of, you know, roster spots available, at least not high end ones. And so you have the opportunity to use some of those early round picks to get guys that can make impacts right away. That's obviously going to be more valuable for the Green Bay Packers, who are in the Super Bowl window, versus, you know, a team picking in the top 10 who's just trying to reload and needs as many fresh young faces as they can get on the roster.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that's a good, obviously, once again, good place to be. You don't want to have to plug a bunch of holes in the draft. We've seen that go poorly in the past. We've seen the Packers try to do that and not succeed. And that's the big thing about the draft, too, is it's not always necessarily that they pick the wrong player. It's just that it's a crapshoot. There's a risk-reward, and as surefire as some of these prospects are, you're going to see some of them fall into the second or third round that you never dreamed would come out of the first round. You're going to see some guys picked in the first that were mocked in the third or fourth round. Just from team to team, GM to GM, it varies. And Mark, I know you've seen a lot of that over the years. You covered the Eagles for many years, obviously. And so you probably saw all sorts of that stuff going on. You still have your scouts that you talk to. So this has got to be kind of a fun day for you, too, to see it all culminate.
Oh, yeah. I've always been I'm one of the few writers that actually enjoyed writing about the draft and covering the draft. I find the whole thing fascinating. If I have a goal in my sports life, that's something I would love to do. I don't even care what team it is. I would love to sit in the draft room the night of the draft. That'd I would love so to fun. Sit there. Packers would be ideal, obviously, but I wouldn't even care. Put me with the Houston Texans. I don't care. I would just love to see what actually goes on. I mean, I've had people tell me stories a lot, but it's something I would love to see firsthand, just being there and hear, you know, as the phone rings and they're trying to make trades and this. I just think I find the whole thing like kind of fun and fascinating. But getting back to what the Packers, what I want, like, I agree with Paul 100% in that. I think they'll see. I think they'll trade up as well, unless, you know, if some quarterbacks go sooner than they should, and maybe some offensive linemen start to go, and they'll read the board. If around pick 17, 18, there's still a few wide receivers there, then maybe they hold back. But if they see Wilson, Williams, and so on, then if they start to go, I think Gutekunst gets on the phone, moves up, and there's two ideal teams I think they could trade with. I think the Chargers at 17. And the Eagles at 18, especially if the Eagles get what they want at 15. The Eagles have a couple of these. The Eagles need a corner, and they also want a wide receiver. But if they get the wide receiver at 15, they have two picks, 15 and 18. If they get the wide receiver at 15, I could see them trading back at 8, getting out of 18, moving back, and the Packers coming up. Or the Packers could go up with the Chargers and get ahead of the Eagles at 18. I know they haven't taken one since Javon Walker, you know, 2002. There's been, you know, a lot of years when people thought they might take a wide receiver. I'll be honest, I never thought they definitely needed a wide. I've always thought there was another at least equal need as wide receiver, because they've always had, at least, I mean, since Aaron Rodgers has been a quarterback, at least, or even when Favre, they've always had a true number one wide receiver. Whether it was Adams, Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, they had one. So the guy they were if they were to take a wide receiver in the first round, he would have been a compliment to those guys. They need a wide receiver now. They don't have a number one. Alan Lazard's not a number one wide receiver. Sammy Watkins, which I think was a great signing, especially for the value. I mean, they got him for next to nothing. I think he's going to be a good receiver for them. But they don't have a true number one right now. They just not even close. So no, they have to go up. I'm not buying this. They'll wait till the second round. They'll take an offensive lineman in it. No, 100 times no. They have an offensive. Their offensive line is fine. Yeah, could they use some depth? Yes. Could they use a third edge rusher? Yes. Could they use depth on the defensive line? Yes. Depth. Everything I said there was depth. You can get depth in the second and third round. First round, you got to get a guy. You got to get a starter. Well, I don't think any defensive lineman, well, I shouldn't say any, but at 22 or 28, a defensive lineman probably isn't going to start.
Right.
An edge rusher certainly isn't going to start over Gary and Smith. And I don't think an offensive lineman, unless he's somebody really good to follow. I mean, they're not getting Evan Neal. They're not getting Charles Cross. You know, so no, get them. They got it. They have to come out of this with one of those, I'll say, top five wide receivers. Williams, Wilson, Olave, London, and Burks. They got it. They have to get one of those five, I think.
Yeah, and they had Treylon Burks in for a visit, so we know that they've talked to him. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything. The Packers have drafted players that they didn't meet with at all in the past. I think I'll take it a step further, Mark, and I'll just say I think having as much capital as they have in the first two rounds, you can't bank on starters when you start getting into the late first round and beyond that. But I think they've got to make hay with what they've got up front. They still have five picks in the first two, right? And so that should net you, to me, that should net you at least two guys that are playing. They don't have to start because starting just means you're on the field for this first snap. Significant snaps on game day, whether they're rotating in. And if that turns out to be, even if it ends up being fluky and one of them turns out to be a really good special teams player, well, the Packers need that too. So I think that's really important. But I think we're all in agreement, right, that receiver is is going to be the thing, right? So just real quickly, not necessarily for the Packers, I just mean overall. Paul, who do you think the first receiver off the board is going to be?
Ooh, good question. Off the board, probably go Garrett Wilson.
Okay. Mark, who do you got?
I agree. I got Wilson.
You think it'll be Wilson?
I think Wilson goes to the Jets at 10.
Okay. All right. First, I mean, I guess I'll be
unless somebody gambles on Williams. Somebody could gamble on – if Williams wasn't hurt, there's no doubt in my mind he'd have been the first.
So you don't think – you don't think – you're not as high on London, on Drake London?
I like London. I don't think that – I personally like London a lot, but I think he's – I think the teams like Wilson and Williams better.
Jameson Williams, I think, is going to end up being like one of the biggest stories in the first round because he is still, I mean, it's almost like the ACL didn't even happen. You know, I mean, he's still so very highly regarded. And I do think a team is going to trade up or move up and try to grab him for the future. In fact, I saw him mocked a couple times to Minnesota, which scares me a lot there. It's like they're trying to get ready to replace Thielen a year or two ahead of time, which is what they should do. And they've got a whole new GM there. And it's like, man, if that ends up happening and he ends up having the kind of career we think he's going to, and you pair him with Justin Jefferson, it's almost like you got Carter and Moss again in Minnesota for many years that you have to contend with.
Who's throwing the ball to him?
That's true. Right. That's true. That's a good point. That's a very good point. You got to have a good quarterback, but I think
they don't have Dante Culpepper anymore.
Right. Which is, there you go. Zing. What a zing. That's a great zing. That's true. Well, they kind of do. He's just, you know, he's a little, I don't know if he's as big as Dante but you know, he's the guy that's there right now. But so that's the whole wide receiver thing right there. So if the Packers, cause we talked about this before we started recording as well. So if the Packers are going to take a receiver with their first pick, then like, you know, even if it's pie in the sky, I'm assuming both based on what you both said, Wilson won't be there because he'll be gone before the Packers would have a chance to trade up. So then who do you want? I already know the answers, but our listeners haven't heard it yet. So Mark, we'll start with you. Who do you want if the Packers are taking a receiver with their first pick, whether it's at, you know, 16, 18, 22, 28, wherever it be?
I'm glad you went to me first because I know Paul and I. Paul and I, this is funny because I, you know, we follow each other on Twitter. I agree with 90% of what Paul puts up. But
ooh, there's 10% and hanging out there. I'm curious about
always,
that.
Yeah, I can't agree.
There's always going to be some.
I don't want Tyler Smith. but other than that, no, I want Chris Olave. I want Chris Olave from Ohio State. And mainly because I think he's the most – I think he'll be the best rookie wide receiver. And even though I said Wilson will go first, and I think Williams is going to be great, but like we said, he has the ACL. He may miss a month of the season. Who knows when he's going to be ready. I think Olave, especially if the Green Bay Packers select Chris Olave, I would do one of those long-term wagers, or what do they call it, advanced wagering, that he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Futures bet, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Futures bet, thank you.
Okay.
I would bet that him that he wins Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Sure.
That's how much I think of him. He's soaked from everybody I talk to, from everything I read and hear and watch. He's the most ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Packers, and so you give Aaron Rodgers a ready to play rookie wide receiver. He can put up some. He may actually put up some pretty good numbers.
I hope so. Well, I usually have a guy that I like more than not, and this year I have so many guys I'd be happy with that I don't really have like a man that would be the 1A if they were able to draft him receiver wise for me. It's kind of like that with the receivers. So Jameson Williams and Chris Olave. If the Packers came away with either of those two guys, I would be equally happy with it. I think they would both be good for the Packers. It's just interesting to see if Green Bay would value and take a guy that we're not sure is going to be ready to start the season. I know there's been a lot of different things out there that have reported about his progress and recovery, but with injuries and we're not doctors, it's really hard for us to know. So, Paul, if it's you, who do you got?
I'm trading up to 17 with the Chargers to take Chris Olave. Mark hit all the big points. They need a go-to guy. They need someone who can step in and be the guy. Olave can play on the boundary, inside, he can line up on the left side, right side, he can move him around. He's considered by many analysts the best route runner in this class, can win off the line of scrimmage, can win at all three levels. He's the guy. You need a guy right now, and the Packers don't have one. And I just feel like he has such a high floor. As Mark said, it's Jameson Williams may end up having a better career, for example.
Right.
But I just feel like you know what you're getting with Chris Olave, and it's that high floor, and that's what the Packers, that's what they need right now. It feels like Olave's floor is wide receiver two, which if you look back in 7 years, 8 years, and he's your wide receiver two, like you're still going to be happy with that, of course. But you know what you're getting. I think you'd be very good in this Matt LaFleur offense, being able to move around the way you can win off the line of scrimmage. So yeah, that's my guy at receiver, and then number two, I'd pick Jameson Williams just because of that upside. I know he might not be ready for week one, which would obviously scare a lot of Packers fans given the state of the receiver room, but there's just too much talent there. And I think the Bakhtiari injury has some of us a little shaken by ACL injuries, but what happened to Bakhtiari, and first off, he's a tackle versus a receiver, that plays a factor in it in terms of recovery and all that. But what happened to Bakhtiari, that's the outlier more than the norm, where mm-hmm. someone right. is going to take, and it didn't help that his injury occurred at the very, very end of the 2020 season either. But that's the outlier. ACLs nowadays, pretty much everyone can recover from them within a reasonable amount of time. The Packers selected Williams. I would certainly expect him to be a part of this year's team. So that whole factor doesn't play a huge role or factor in my decision-making in selecting him.
Right. Yeah. And it really was with Bakhtiari. I mean, the way that surgeries go, it's like it takes a lot in today's age of modern medicine and everything that we know for something like that to occur. It can happen, but you also haven't heard a lot of concern from either the player or the team as far as whether he's going to be ready to go this next year. That didn't help in 2021, but we've moved on. We're on to 2022 now, and Rodgers and weapons and things to throw to, and obviously that's really important. There's been some talk about, well, is Rodgers even going to function well with a rookie? I mean, how many years left does he have left to play? It's going to take him a whole year to just get comfortable enough to throw the ball to a guy. We all know that he's got to be comfortable throwing a football to a receiver, all that kind of stuff there too. But as we look a little bit further ahead here, there's the whole idea of value. If you move into the second round, there's a lot of receivers. Surely one of these guys might fall into the second round. May the Packers decide they can move back and get some value and take some additional swings. And then we haven't had a chance to talk about our reaction to the news that apparently the Packers are interested in acquiring Raiders tight end Darren Waller. There's been some conversations between them and the team reportedly. We don't know how much, smoke, the fire there is to the smoke that we're seeing there, but it's been reported. And we know that the Packers seemingly wanted Waller in the Adams trade originally, but couldn't include a player because of how Adams was tagged. So you've got those second round assets. You're in the value spot. Mark, first of all, is there a player that you're like, hey, keep an eye on X player in the second round? Maybe it is like a George Pickens, for example, or maybe it's somebody else. And are you willing to part with one of those premium second round picks if that's what it takes to bring in Waller and conceivably solve a lot of the tight end position right now.
Yeah, well, I'll answer your second question first. Yes, I would trade a second round pick for Darren Waller. I believe, I certainly believe that when the Packers talk to the Raiders and when and dealing with Davante Adams, that that's what they wanted. They wanted a one in Waller, and then they found out that because of the, like you said, because of the tag, you can't, because Adams hadn't signed his tag yet, you can't trade. It's a really dumb rule. What's the difference? I don't understand that. But they couldn't trade him for a player. They had to just get picks. But I don't know if they're – I mean, the Raiders have kind of shot this down a little bit. I would do it. I would do it in a heartbeat. I believe – and it's funny. I had this conversation with an old friend the other day about the whole tight end – position, and with wide receiver salaries going the way they are, you know, Adams making a crazy money and Tyreek Hill getting crazy money, and if you get a tight end who's like going to be maybe like your top guy, you're paying him half what you're paying wide receivers these days. And you could, and if you look at the other than last year, not the Rams, because they really didn't use a tight end as often as they had Cup and Odell, and before that Woods, and you know, all that. But the prior years, you had, start with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl in 17. Their top receiver that year was Zach Ertz.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had tight end. Then you had New England with Gronk. Then you had Kansas City with Kelsey. I know they had Hill and all that, but Kelsey is the guy, you know, was the main guy. And then you had Tampa Bay with Gronk again. So, I mean, if you have a big time tight end, your wide receivers can be a rookie and Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Sammy White. I mean, a guy like Waller would really put this offense up another level. I mean, he's that good, I think. And like I said, you pay him, even if you redo his deal and you get some big time tight end. A big-time tight end contract is still half of a big-time wide mm-hmm. receiver contract. So, I'm all for getting a big-time tight end.
And then, okay, what about your value picks or any guys you think might be in a sweeter spot in two?
At wide receiver?
Or any position, too, because I don't want to leave defense out because, yeah, you know, well, we talked a little bit before the show about the safety position and the defensive backs, too. So, mm-hmm. I mean, anybody.
Well, here's my thing. And like I said, I agree with Paul. If they have to move up to get Olave, all right, so if it costs them whatever it costs to move up and get him, at 28, I might move back
mm-hmm.
and get that pick back if you want to do that. I mean, unless somebody falls, unless there's a guy you love at 28, because I think 28 and 38, there isn't that much of a difference. I mean, there's a bunch of guys. I love the safety from Georgia, Lewis Cine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now he could go bottom first. I wouldn't mind him at 28, to be honest with you. But some people have him, you know, early second round. A lot of those defensive tackles, the kid Jones from UConn,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind him in the second round. Mathis from Alabama, I wouldn't mind in the second round. I'm trying to think. If we're back to wide receiver, I think he might be, you know, he probably is a low second round now. It's the kid from Cincinnati, Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a perfect Green mm-hmm. Bay Packer. I think he's a better Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Yep. There's been a lot of talk about him. Well, we talked about him.
Right.
Right. And we about him and his connection to the Packers. And it just seemed, and there's been a lot of mocks and a lot of people that have said he's very much a Packers type. Paul, what about you as far as round two, the Waller situation, and do you part with that asset? And then who are your guys in round two that hit that sweet spot where you're thinking like, hey, the Packers might be able to score some really good value there?
Yeah, as far as Waller, I mean, if it took a second rounder, I would absolutely do it. Kind of feels like they're playing with house money, right? I mean, you get two firsts, a second, and Darren Waller. Like,
that's huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right.
And we know the Packers need some juice to this offense. I mean, this is a bit of an outside the box way to get that juice from what we were thinking, whether it come through the draft with a receiver or I know trading for one of, you know, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, that crew has been speculated on, although I don't think that's possible from a cap perspective. But Darren Waller can provide that as well. He's averaging over 100 targets per season over the last 3 years, and he's played 25% of his snaps on the boundary, another 28 from in the slot. So over 50% of his snaps have come from those, you know, more traditional receiver roles, the slot or the boundary, compared to being in line. So, yeah, and Mark just went, all the tight ends that you went through that are, you know, were true difference makers on those Super Bowl teams, Ertz and Kelce, it's a perfect example. So yeah, it doesn't have to be a receiver. Darren Waller could absolutely, you know, provide that playmaking juice that they need. And from a cap perspective, he has 2 years left on his deal, and his salary in each of those 2 years is $6.25 million. Like, that's very, very, you know, the Packers, even in their cap situation, if they had to, you know, absorb that this season without any reworking of it, they absolutely could. And that's the big difference between, like, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf. Those guys are on rookie deals, so their figure this year is very manageable, very team-friendly. But they're going to want extensions, and we're seeing what those wide receiver contracts are looking like. And so bringing in Waller, even if you have to give him an extension, you know, and that pays him close. I think Kittle's getting the most at $15 million a year for a tight end. Say you have to give him $13 million. For example, you know, you could still absorb that over the coming years and this year as well, even with the Packers cap situation. So it just checks a lot of boxes and makes a ton of sense for the Packers and just kind of their need, but also making it work financially.
And then what about, so if in the sweet spot there in the second round, are you still, it seems like the Packers are kind of, we're talking a lot about them stocking up on offense. What about is there another offensive player? Are we maybe looking at offensive linemen at that point in two? Or are there any defensive players that you think the Packers might also look to add?
I mean, still hanging in round one, I like Daxton Hill as an option at safety for Green Bay. He's incredibly versatile. And I know I've talked about how having an additional slot presence could provide them some real value and flexibility. Because even if Jair ends the season taking the most slot snaps, that's not where he's going to play. He's going to follow the top receiver. He's going to move around. They're not just going to pigeonhole him there. And right now, when you look at the rest of the roster in terms of slot experience, there's very, very little. Even Shamar John Charles, who's a slot corner with the Packers, he was a boundary corner at App State. So there's still that, not that they couldn't figure it out. They have three very good cornerbacks, but there's still that lack of experience playing there. Daxton Hill could provide that. Jalen Petrie, another safety from Baylor, spent a ton of his time there playing down in the box. And as we look ahead to 2023, the only safety under contract is Vernon Scott. So that's one of those positions that's on my radar within the first two rounds, you know, having four selections that I could see the Packers taking. Round two, tight end could potentially be, you know, if Trey McBride's there, or they're high on Greg Dulcich, for example. You know, those are all options. Defensively, Jerry Montgomery, the interior defensive line coach, mentioned that they want to add a pass rush presence to that interior defensive line. Basically, the way I took it as a compliment for TJ Slayton. You know, of course you have Kenny Clark. Slayton's your run stuffer. We need someone who can get after the quarterback. Logan Hall from Houston can play up and down the defensive front. Perrion Winfrey from Oklahoma, he fits that mold as well. And then edge rusher, you know, maybe in the back end of the first round, you know, Mark is not necessarily the biggest fan of George Karlaftis, but, you know, that big presence, you can move him into the middle of the defensive front. Drake Jackson, you know, maybe he's someone who's available from USC in that second round. But that's the hard part, you know, as we're going, because I'm going through these names that I like and kind of where we've seen. But as we all know, as we do the mock drafts, that's a lot different than how the NFL board may fall, because, you know, Logan Hall, who in a lot of the different mock drafts that you use, is he's pretty much always there in the 50s when Green Bay's picking, if you're doing them. But I think he's very much a potential. I could see him being picked 28 for the Green Bay Packers as well.
I think the Packers have a lot of targets and things on their mind that they want to get done this draft. And it could be a little reversal of what we've seen in the past, where maybe, and I know that you know, we're past the days of Ted Thompson being the GM, and Brian Gutekunst has been aggressive and moved around in every draft that he's drafted in so far, especially early. But it's always been this idea of let the first round come to you and then maneuver around and get your second and third round picks and make sure you stomp on that value. And I think it could be the opposite this year, where it's like, go get your impact guy in the first round, Mark. Like you said, if you have to find a starter, then you better make sure you're using the premium assets and you're getting your guy. If you have somebody that's going to come in and play, then you better have done your due diligence and know exactly who you want and do everything you can to get that guy. If it just doesn't work out, then you have to pivot and figure something else out. But you do that. But I think in the second round, you let the board come to you. Now, I know that they have things they want to do, like you mentioned Paul's safety. That's one I'm really looking at. I think the Packers are going to come out of this with two safeties. Everyone's talking about two or three receivers. I think they're going to come out with a couple of safeties. They just don't have a lot in the stable there long term. And they're going to want to try to find players that can fill these important positions that are likely to start, which means you've got to pick them high. And then you're going to have these small contracts on the books. And the Packers are going to be in good position to play in free agency for a couple of years. And if there's a quarterback transition, you keep the team viable. You don't have to blow the whole thing up and start all over again. I think with the Waller thing, what's interesting about that is that Davante Adams is going into his ninth season in the NFL. And the Packers, he's still the best receiver in all of football. But if he ends up coming in and the Packers get a deal done and they end up swapping that second round pick or whatever it be, isn't it a little bit interesting that the Packers end up trading the best receiver to a team for a guy that could arguably be, I mean, he's not really, I mean, he's still got Kittle and Kelce, but one of the best tight ends who's young or younger, I guess, because what is he, 28? Waller's what, 28, 29?
He's about, I think he's a year younger than Adams.
So he's a year younger. So the Packers end up getting one of the best, you know, pass catchers at that position, and they move back a year or two in age, which I think would be great in theory if that ends up working out. I mean, I as you guys were talking through it, I was thinking about how, man, it's been a while since we've seen the tight end be impactful. Like when JerMichael Finley was at his peak and he was healthy, that was such a big factor of the Packers offense that we just haven't seen in almost a decade. It's been all receivers, and they've got, you know, running backs catching passes now. I think that would be a big get for Green Bay if they can pull it off. But I'm always leery when there's a lot of reports that come out, because a lot of the stuff that Green Bay ends up doing or decides to do kind of tends to come out of nowhere. We find out that it's done. We find out that the deal was done, and they announce it a day or two later. There isn't a lot of, you know, buzz. There's that word, Mark, that you love, ahead of time. And
Mike Clemens
tweeted out earlier this week and was saying, hey, this, you know, it's hard to believe it was 8 years ago, a little over 8 years ago, when we all woke up on a Saturday morning and we saw a tweet of Julius Peppers standing at Lambeau Field, and not a single word had been spoken about or written about it up to that point. It just, bam, there he was at Lambeau Field, and Bears fans had to deal with it, and Packers fans were jumping for joy, and it turned out to be a pretty good deal. So that's the other thing too, is with all these draft assets, we're talking about all these players, and there's still a chance the Packers may end up making a deal for a guy that's in the league right now. I don't know that, I mean, I don't want to put us on the spot and say, who do you think they could potentially trade for? Because it's hard to say. And I think there's going to be a lot of that maneuvering around too later today, which is going to be a lot of fun, because that is not something we saw a lot of. Mark, you've mentioned it a bunch of times too. Trading was like non-existent in the NFL up until a couple of years ago. And now things are just, they're different. They're changing. And
well, this offseason, look at what we've seen so far. You've had four starting quarterbacks traded this offseason. You've had two of the top five receivers in football traded this offseason. Do you think this draft is going to be boring?
No.
The NFL thinks it's the NBA now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be wild.
Yeah.
I think the top five picks will, I think Jacksonville, Detroit, Houston, the New York Jets, and the New York Giants will pick 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But after that, I think every pick from 6 to 10 could be traded. Carolina will. I will tell you this right now. The Carolina Panthers will not make the 6th pick in the draft. That pick is getting traded, whether it's to the Philadelphia Eagles, the New Orleans Saints, the Washington, whatever they call themselves. Somebody, Carolina is not, there's, they don't, you know, Carolina picks 6. They don't pick again till Saturday. They need extra picks in between there. And they probably also want a quarterback, but there's no reason to take any of these quarterbacks at 6. So they can move down into the teens, pick up an extra 2nd and an extra 4, whatever else, whatever they can get, and still get the quarterback and get those extra picks back. Mm-hmm. I think that's I think six is definitely getting traded. I think Atlanta at eight, they need a lot of things. I think they'll be happy to move from eight to somewhere in the middle and pick up extra picks. Seattle never move back every year. They never stay where they are. So that's another pick that could get moved back. So I think it's going to be there's going to be all kinds of things happening tonight. And I think some players may get moved as well. But yeah. Maybe like it's Darren Waller, you know, is Debo going to get traded?
I don't know if he'll be he's kind of an interesting one. It's been so much has been said about it, and I don't know how much has been worked out or is happening. Uh-huh. But this is where things heat up on draft day because this is when it's real. I mean, if you want that asset that's known from the other team, today's the last day for you to do it because if that pick gets used, now you're projecting and you're waiting till next year. If you're getting draft picks, and now you don't know where good teams are going to finish.
Or has a deal already been worked out?
Right.
And the Niners don't want it out until they're on the clock.
Right. I think a lot of times that happens, and it does with the Packers too. They seem to have these, like I said, they have these things worked out, and then we find out about it in real time.
Well, here's there was a report earlier today, and I'm not sure of the credibility of the report, but it is out there that I mentioned the Atlanta Falcons at number eight. Yeah, they're eight, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently, again, I don't know who this is according to. It's a guy based in Atlanta, I assume, that the Atlanta Falcons really like Jordan Love.
I did see that. And if they do, listen, if the price is right, I don't think any of us are married to Jordan Love at this point. If the price is right, then, you know, just get the assets. Because, listen, when they drafted Jordan Love, the plan with Aaron Rodgers was not what it is today. So there's no way the Packers don't entertain that or shouldn't be entertaining right. that they should. If they have to start over, they probably already considered if they have to start over where they would want to begin that process if they had to.
So what would Atlanta offer? If Atlanta really wants them that badly, what can the Packers get?
I don't know what they have. I don't think you're getting a first rounder for Jordan Love. I don't know what they're.
Oh my God. Number eight.
Well, no. Well, and that's the other thing. I didn't remember if they had another late pick in the first either. Because I know that a lot of teams sometimes have later picks, not eight, obviously not eight, but I also don't know what they have in the second round. I mean, I would imagine.
The eighth pick in the second round.
Right? Yeah. Well, and see, I think that might be a little bit too rich as well. I don't know if Atlanta would want something back with Love if they're going to give up that pick. But if it's me and that's what it is, I would do that. Paul, what's your take on the whole Jordan Love and trade value?
If it's a third or better, I'd do it.
Actually, they have the 11th pick of the second round, Atlanta.
Still pretty high.
I don't think he's getting traded. I think he's going to be a Green Bay Packer in 2022. But if I were GMing and I got a third round pick or better, I would do it.
Yeah.
Well, you just want your brother-in-law to be number two.
A third. QB2. Paul is gonna curse the Packers with another third round pick.
I'm actually helping them. I'm getting an extra opportunity.
Extra third so they can move up out of there and package those. And case. There you go. Right, of course.
Yeah. No, listen, if the report is accurate, and again, I don't know the credibility of the guy reporting. I never heard of him. But I'm not saying he's not credible. I just don't know him. If Atlanta is the one instigating this, if they're calling the Packers, I want that 11th pick in the second round. At word. I mean, I don't know. They ain't good enough. If you're calling me, you want him that badly, give me that 11th pick in the second round. Sure. I mean, there's no way they can do 22 and Love for eight, can they?
I wouldn't think so.
No. I was just thinking too, as far as second round picks recently too, if that's what they're willing to give up. I mean, I know the Packers have done well two of the last 3 years in picking up starting offensive linemen. I mean, obviously Elgton Jenkins, they really hit the jackpot there. And then it was A.J. Dillon in 2020, and he's not an offensive lineman, but he still seems like a really good pick there. So, like, the second round is that sweet spot. So especially if they can get a top 15, another top 15, now they've got – that would give them four – if they don't trade any of their seconds prior to that, that would give them four total second-round picks. But you'd have to imagine if they're going to maneuver – later today, then they're going to be probably having to use some of those twos if they want to move up in the first round.
Maybe they do. If you're saying that Atlanta's second round pick is a little much, which I don't think it is, but maybe Love and the Packers throw in one of their fourth round picks to get the second.
Yeah, they'd have to throw in another asset or two to make it worthwhile, but it's possible.
I've said a long time ago, and I wrote the story a long time ago, where a scout told me that Love is better than any quarterback in this draft. So maybe he's worth more than we think.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine his value is higher within the NFL than it is on the outside looking in.
It could get really interesting, because it could be a situation where Paul's brother-in-law is the backup quarterback, and then you have another Tim Boyle situation where it's like you really hope the backup doesn't play if he has to. I mean, you could do worse than Kurt Benkert, but I haven't seen him play in an NFL game in live action against a team trying. And so he kneels
really
well.
You guys are forgetting about the knee hurt around the world.
Yeah, right. He kneels really well, but we have not seen him play anything significant.
Here's my opinion on that. If they trade Love, and I really don't want to trade Love, but if the deal's too good to pass up, if it's the Godfather thing, right? Make me an offer I can't refuse. So they get whatever, I don't know. Atlanta gives them way over, like, it blows us away, right? So, all right. I signed Nick Foles. He's free agent. I signed Nick Foles. I let Rodgers play the regular season and go 13-4. And I play Foles in the playoffs because he never right. loses. The guy don't lose playoff games.
Yeah, it's Trey Burton floating around out there too.
Aaron, thanks a lot. You know, good. Now you take. You know, Nick's going to play the playoffs for us.
Kind of like baseball, you got your starter and then you go to the bullpen.
Yes, exactly. Nick's the closer.
Yeah. Going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to get really, really interesting really fast. And in fact, by the time everybody's listening to this show, because obviously, as you know, we recorded on Wednesday evening, by the time everyone is listening to this show, we may already know things that we haven't talked about yet, because we'll wake up and we'll start hearing. And don't forget, last week, Mark reminded us all, and it's very true, lying season and lying week and all the smoke screens. And we probably haven't seen the last of them. I mean, last year on draft day, and I'm not even talking about the Schefter thing. I'm just saying on draft day, that's where we start hearing about smoke screens, and all of a sudden it's all these pivots, and this team is now it's this team, you know, look out for this player to this team, when we haven't heard it at all up to that point. And we've seen it go both ways, where it ends up being complete fluff, and there's other times where it ends up being true. I remember back in 2016, this is when I was doing some writing for Cheesehead, and I was covering the draft and had the first pick, and Jersey Al actually came up with Kenny Clark was hot to the Packers earlier in the day, and that ended up being the pick. So that's where it gets kind of fun, when we hear the buzz and stuff that's related to our own team, and then it ends up coming true, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess there was a little something to that. There's so much going on, because the Packers have the needs that they do because of the number of assets that they have, and they've actually got a lot to work with, whereas usually it's like, well, you know, they're picking 28, they only have one pick, how are they going to move up into a decent spot with assets that are less than first rounders to package together, unless you want to give up a future one. And the Packers aren't really big on giving up future ones and twos. That's just not how Goody operates. So any final thoughts on the draft? Any last minute pontifications or anything that we think may happen before we sign off and let everybody enjoy what is the 2022 NFL draft? It is finally here. Mark, we'll start with you.
Yeah, one name we haven't mentioned, who I like a lot if they stay at 28, talk about an edge rusher, is the kid from Penn State, Arnold. I'm going to try to pronounce his name. Is it Ebikati? Ebikati?
I think it's like Ebikati.
Ebikati, that's how you say it. Mm-hmm. But you know what I meant. Mm-hmm. Nine sacks last year at Penn State. He's I talked to some people about him, and they say they think he's perfect as a stand-up 3-4 linebacker. You know, the Packers do need one of them. They need a third guy behind Gary and Preston Smith. I think this guy would be ideal, and I think that's where he goes. I think he's going to go somewhere between. I think if Green Bay doesn't go before 28, I think Kansas City will I think he's the kind of guy Kansas City likes at 29 or 30. So I think that's his range, like, you know, bottom of the first. That's a guy that I think would be a very good fit.
That's and defense, right? Impact defensive players. And that's the other interesting thing too. If the Packers think they need to address the edge group, because you got Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, and, you know, so if they want to address that early, then the whole wide receiver theory could be out the window if they have to move up, not for a receiver, but for an impact edge player, and hope that they can get some more value at receiver a little bit later. Paul, any final thoughts on the draft or any other players that you wanted to mention, talk about? We haven't talked about any punters and kickers yet. Are we sure we don't want to throw down any punter or kicker news before we sign off?
Long snapper first.
Long snapper. Yeah.
I'll just briefly discuss article I had over at Dairyland Express. I started with over 50 players. I just use the Draft Network's big board, and using their athletic testing, age, and the position that they play, I whittled that list down to 8 players. And so I'll just go over them briefly. These are my 8 targets for the Green Bay Packers. The RAS score, 27 out of Goody's 33 picks have scored 8 or higher. So that was the benchmark. Age, in the first round since 2009, Packers haven't drafted anyone over 22. And since 2015, Eric Stokes is the only 22-year-old. Every other first-round pick has been 21. So for this exercise, I use 21 as the benchmark. And then maybe eliminated a few players that could be on the Packers board. But when a player is a month away from turning 23, do they value that different than someone who's a month into who just turned 22? So I just tried to eliminate some of the, you know, my own judgment going into there. So I just went with 21 years old. And then the position they play: interior offensive line, running back, linebacker, tight end. Those are traditionally not positions the Packers draft in the first round. Of course, did have to make a switch, though. I took out quarterback. We know they draft those in the first round, and I put in receiver, just given the need. And so when I went through all that, and then I eliminated the top 10 from the Draft Network's big board. So Aiden Hutchinson, Trayvon Walker, those guys, just because odds are they aren't going to be there at 22. And I came up with these 9 players who fit the criteria. Daxton Hill, safety for Michigan. Tyler Smith, offensive tackle, Tulsa. Chris Olave, David Ojabo, edge rusher, Michigan. Trent McDuffie, corner from Washington. George Karlaftis, edge rusher, Purdue. Kair Elam, cornerback, Florida. And Logan Hall, interior defensive lineman, Houston. Oh, and George Pickens from Georgia. So those are my 9. That's my short list of 9 targets for the Packers in round 1. We'll see if we get any right.
Pickens, I like the way he plays. Physical. He's got a lot of grit to him. I think the Packers could benefit from that. We'll see if he ends up being the type of pro that you hope that he can be. But a willing blocker, do some of the dirty work and things like that, wouldn't mind that. But that's a great list, Paul. And I think that's the other thing, is we get so stuck in hearing all these names in mock drafts, but really there's a science to it that we can't just throw out the window and we can't ignore. And Mark, I think we talked a little bit about that last week too, and different body types and different skill types that the GM likes. I mean, you have to look at the patterns, right? And you can't just ignore what they've done in the past and what they like.
Yeah, he also likes big schools in the first round. That's why my one beef, not beef, but the one name I would take off. And they may take him. I could be wrong, but I don't see the Packers taking a kid from Tulsa in the first round.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I think they tend to go SEC, Big Ten, ACC. I would take Ojabo off the list too, because of that terrible, terrible injury that he suffered. I mean, that could really—that's a bad injury. It's a shame. I don't think he would have been around at 22 or 28 if he hadn't gotten hurt. I think he would have been off the board. Now, I mean, who knows where he's going to go and how it's going to? He could be like the kid at the Packers. Why can't I think of his name? The linebacker that Dallas took, that the Packers brought in for a week or two last year. Jalen Smith from Notre Dame. I mean, he was a top 5 pick, and he got hurt in the bowl game and fell to the second round, and then he did okay. He had some moments in Dallas, but was never really the same player that he was prior to that injury. And I just have a bad feeling that terrible, stupid injury in a pro day workout. That's just terrible. It might have ruined the kid's whole. Who knows? I mean, it cost him a ton of money already because he would have been, like I said, I think he'd have been a top 15 pick. And now, who knows where he's going to go? But
right.
You know, every time we think we have Gutenkunz figured out, though, he sometimes throws a curveball at us.
Last year, yep. Basically every year. And one other thing I want to add, Jameson Williams, Drake London, they meet the first two playing receiver age. I just left them off because we didn't have any athletic testing for them, at least when I had done the article. I know London had his pro day recently. And again, those guys like that are probably very much on the Packers board, but I was just trying to be very, you know, decisive with here's the number. Did they make it or did they not? Just because my goal was just to put together, my goal was to keep it under 10.
Yeah, I think those are all good points and good lists, and there's good reasons and science behind them to go along with it. As they say, show your work when you're doing your math. So, well, good conversation. And as we all know, you know, it may turn out that nothing that we talked about today ends up happening as far as these next couple days, but
probably.
We're only a couple hours away from finding out. It's been a good conversation. Glad everyone could ride along with us. And we ended up getting the draft day show. So that's kind of fun having us move from the Saturday show to Thursday just in time for the NFL draft, which is this huge extravaganza, and it should be in Green Bay in a couple of years, but it's not, so we'll deal with that another time. That's another topic for another day, but we know the draft is happening this weekend, so I would imagine that's probably going to guide a lot of what we see from both of you gentlemen as far as written work. Mark, what's up right now? What's coming up?
What's up right now on Packer Report is I look back at the last 5 years of the 22nd and 28th picks, and what those guys, who was taken 22nd, who was taken 28, and what they've done. Just as a little perspective on what kind of player falls to 22 and 28. And then coming up later today, or if depending what time you're listening to us, it's probably up already, is my mock draft. I only do one, and I do it the day of the draft. So I'm not going to tell you who I have the Packers taken. You have to go and find out yourself. And then I got to add something else. I've done this the last couple almost every year since I've retired. But my old boss at NJ.com brings me back to help out with draft coverage. So tonight, I'll be doing a live pick-by-pick analysis. So when Jacksonville takes whoever they take, I'll be saying, you know, this guy fits well, great pick, Jacksonville's on its way back, or what the hell are they thinking about? You know, and I'll do it for the entire first round. So it'll be it's up there live on NJ.com.
That'll be awesome. A lot to look forward to there. It's always good. And the historical pieces are good too, looking back and seeing what's happened. Those are always fun to read through and hope that the Packers can find some good success where they're picking. And then Paul, for you, I would imagine it's probably going to be a lot of draft recapping and tracking undrafted free agents and the like.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So head over to Dairyland Express. It's called my draft guide. I compiled probably 9 or 10 articles just from the last 4 or 6 weeks that I feel kind of encapsulate this draft process. I have 3 of them devoted to what it looks like if the Packers traded up from 22, traded up from 28, or traded back from 28. I use the Rich Hill model, which is based off of Jimmy Johnson's trade value chart, just to put together scenarios. If they moved up to 13, what could that trade look like? If they moved up to 15, so on and so on. I have my shortlist article there. Like I said, there's a handful out there, so check that out. And then this weekend as the draft goes, I started this last year and I really liked it and got good feedback. I'll just kind of have after as many picks, I'm going to try to hit all of them, but I'll just have like an instant takeaways article from the pick, just my quick thoughts. It's going to be bullet point style. Quick, easy to read. My goal is to get up as quickly as possible once the pick is in. And then as we progress into next week, we'll obviously start diving deeper.
Yeah, awesome. And then Quick Slants podcast out on Monday for me. And that'll be obviously a recap of the weekend that was. As far as the Packers draft picks, we'll see how many there are to go through, undrafted free agents. And then the Packers will turn their attention to anything that's left of free agency. Then we've got the June 1st deadline. They move into the other mini camps. And then we start trying to figure out who's going to be on this team when training camp breaks in the summer. So good conversation, guys. Thanks so much. Happy draft day to everybody else that's out there. enjoy it. Try not to melt down too much when the Packers don't take any of the players that were mocked to them, or
they
that
go
you had
defense, defense.
Yeah, on your own big board, just trust the process, as they say. Goody's done well for the Packers, and he's got to look a little bit beyond this year as well. So everyone, enjoy the draft, have a good time, and as always, stay safe and go Pack, go.